to me is the five different types of people that were involved in this event. John's Gospel gives us probably the clearest picture of this whole experience. Jesus is riding into Jerusalem as king. Jerusalem was the ancient capital of God's kingdom. It had been the place that God had intended to build his house and to express who he was. And so Jesus was finally riding in to be proclaimed as the king. Wow. What a phenomenal event. But there were five people there that particular day, each of them with a different perspective. There was the crowd or the rabble. They had heard about Lazarus being raised from the dead. And so, yes, Jesus, we've heard about you giving bread. We've heard about your healings. We've heard about you raising Lazarus from the dead. That's the kind of king we want. We want a king that can give us what we want. Then there were the old king's guard, the Jewish people. As Paul said, they had been entrusted with the law, with the message, with the oracles of God. And they stood by watching this king, saying to themselves, he's not really the king we want. And then there were the secularists who looked at this strange Jewish man riding on a donkey and said, huh? We're the only king in this room. The Romans laughed at him. Then there was Peter. Oh Lord, I'm your man. I will go to death. I will die for you. I'll even take out my sword and cut off somebody's ear for you. But if somebody hurts my feelings, I don't know if I can handle it. Isn't that what happened? And then there were the disciples who, at the moment the king needed them the most, fell asleep. When they were taking the king off the cross, there was only one really group of people that were the king's men. One was an elderly Jewish man by the name of Joseph. He had been part of the king's guard, the old Jewish guard. And he had said, this is my king. There was Nicodemus, a younger ruler, whom Jesus had sat down with and talked with. And he had come to believe that this was his king. There were a group of women who had followed Jesus throughout his career. And they said, this is our king. This bloody, bruised, defeated man is our king. That all happened in the space of less than 6 days. It's hard for us to even imagine it. But those five different groups of people still face the question, are you a king's man? Thomas Hardy wrote a poetic drama called The Dynast in 1904. In the first act, the course is a group of marching soldiers preparing to go off to fight Napoleon as the king's men. I have left the quotation from the course on the overhead. We be the king's men, hale and hearty, marching to meet one Bonaparte party. Never mind, mates, mateys, we'll be many, we'll be merry though, we may have marched for nothing. Oh, right, fa-la-lally. There's a lot of us that feel like following the king may be folly. These soldiers doubt the King of England, because they are serving the King of England at that time. They doubt him, and then in the coach to the side are a group of people discussing the soldiers and what they're saying. And they too doubt the king. We live in a world that is highly skeptical of the motives of Christianity. On Palm Sunday, we are reminded what it really means to be a king's man and not of this world. Father, I pray now that you will anoint our ears to hear, our minds to perceive, and our hearts to understand what you would say to us today. Father, I pray that each one of us will be a kingsman today, that we will follow the king no matter what. In Psalm 24, verses 1 through 10, David writes these words, "The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and all who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy presence? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, for the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory." This particular video is from the movie, or clip is from the movie The Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides. To be honest with you, I have never seen this movie, but I like this clip. And to be honest with you, the lines are taken from Thomas Hardy's play in 1904.
Mermaid waters, that's be our path.
Cling to your soul, Gibbs, as mermaids be given to take the rest. To the boat.
your courage. I'll be ready to purpose your fear.
A deserter!
Come about!
Nay! Gentlemen, I shall not ask any more of any man than what that man can deliver, but I do ask this. Are we not king's men?
Aye.
On the king's mission?
Aye.
I did not note any fear in the eyes of the Spanish as they passed us by. Are we not king's men?
Aye!
Hand it up and bear away! Stave on ahead to White Camp Bay!
Are we not king's men? Peter was moved by emotion to declare his loyalty to the king, to the point of death or to the point of the sword, but not to scorn. As Christians, we live in a world that would scorn us, that would scorn our belief system. There are many within our world that would say, well, if Christianity will give me what I want, then I will be willing to be a kingsman. There are the secularists who say, well, if you'll just participate with us and do it the way we want it, then we will be a kingsman. Yet our king was like no other. He was humble. He was sacrificial. He was meek. That was the king that we serve. In Hebrews chapter 13, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you follow down into verse 13, the writer of Hebrews says, therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. And the Greek word there could be translated bearing his shame. What Joseph of Arimathea, what Nicodemus did, and what these women did was that they went outside the camp bearing the shame of the king. Committed to who he was, no matter where it led or no matter what it cost. It is that type of man or woman that I want to be. Palm Sunday is a reminder that Jesus is the King. But is he still King on Friday evening? Is he still King when the darkness covers the earth? When it is difficult to look up, when you are accused of things, when you are ridiculed for your faith, is he still king? Humpty Dumpty actually began as an English riddle in the early 1700s. The rhyme would be quoted and the question asked, what is it? The last two lines in the original printed version published in 1792 read, 84 and 4 more, fourscore more, could not make Humpty Dumpty where he was before. The political machinations of the early 1800s in England with Napoleon, as we read about in Thomas Hardy's play, led to the addition or the change of those words to all the king's men and to all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. Thomas Hardy chose the words the king's men for that particular little play on words from this old nursery rhyme. It was also chosen by a writer of a novel reflecting on the political realities of our world. In the 1600s, it is possible that this particular riddle began in the Netherlands, because the Netherlands, for an entire century, were going through a series of civil wars and explosive battles, and England was involved in that entire mess during the 1600s. And they kept asking, can we ever put this mess together again? The lines of the rhyme were used in the title of a book published in 1947 called All the King's Men. It was a thinly veneered retelling of the story of Huey Long, and I'll tell you a little bit more about him in just a moment. The book won a Pulitzer Prize for literature and was turned into a blockbuster movie in 1949. Both the book and the film are considered among the top 100 books and 100 films in U.S. history. Broderick Crawford played the main character, Willie Stark. Broderick Crawford is an interesting man, one of the best and most talented actors in Hollywood in the era. In the 1950s, he would, playing on his role, become the lead character in the TV series, The Highway Patrol. What was bizarre is that Crawford had already had serious problems in his life. He was picked up numerous times for DUI, a secret that was kept hidden during the entire time that he served as the head of the Highway Patrol on TV. It finally came to a point that he was fired from the TV series because of his drinking problems. It was said that if you didn't get his lines in the morning and get the filming done in the morning, by afternoon he was worthless. Crawford would watch his entire Humpty Dumpty experience shatter. Such a talented man with so many abilities and skills. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, David is saying these words, "But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all these things come from you, and of your own we have given you. For we are aliens and pilgrims before you, as were all our fathers. Our days are on the earth as a shadow and without hope. I know also, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things, and now with joy I have seen your people who are present here to offer willingly to you." And here comes the real question of David's heart. He is an elderly man now. and give my son Solomon a loyal heart. In other words, David's request, who was a man after God's own heart, even with all of his failures, was that I have been a kinsman. Now please, Lord, help my son be a kinsman as well. Help my son be the man that he needs to be. There's a danger to trying to make this world into the kingdom of God. Huey Long was a fascinating man. He rose from the ashes of success in the oil business to become a major lawyer fighting against Standard Oil. In that fight, he gained political power. He became a socialist progressive, a supporter of FDR for President of the United States, an advocate of the New Deal. His only problem was that it didn't go far enough. He ran for governor of Louisiana on a promise to end corruption and change the circumstances. His political cry for the people of Louisiana is, every man a king and every man has his own castle. He would later, in 1935, attempt to run against Franklin Delano Roosevelt for the Democratic nomination for president. In that process, his slogan would be, every man a king with $5,000 in his pocket, and a car in his garage, and his own home. It was a slogan that might well have carried him to the presidency of the United States. The only problem with Huey Long was that in the process of trying to correct the problems, he had become the problem. He had become as corrupt as the people he was trying to replace. In fact, he was noted to be one of the most corrupt politicians of his era. That corruption would lead to his own downfall, and then when he was reinstated as governor in 1935, would lead to his death. He had hurt a lot of people on his way through the process. One of the men who he had harmed, his son-in-law, met Governor Huey Long coming out of the statehouse rooms where he had just pushed through a bill through the Senate. He pulled out his revolver and shot him point blank in the stomach. Huey Long died 4 days later. It was a sad and tragic moment in American history. Jesus understood the dangers of being a king in this world. Because the one who is the prince of the power of the air, the one whom Adam surrendered the authority of this world to, in his sin, is the one who has power over the kingdoms of this world. Jesus would meet this person in the desert. And this person would offer him the deal of a lifetime. And Satan said to him, "All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Jesus had been shown all the kingdoms of the world in a moment. He had seen everything on every continent, had seen all the powers of the world. You can be king of all of this if you surrender to me. How many people have surrendered to him for that promise, or just a little chunk of that promise? Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" In other words, Jesus said, "I am a king, but you're not the person to make me king. God is the one who makes me king. And my kingdom," as he would say to Pilate later on, "is not of this world. Or else my followers would take up arms, and I have told them not to. Because my kingdom is not of this world. It does not belong to this world. It belongs to the world that is coming." Now, when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time, which tells us that Jesus had to face these temptations again. And believe it or not, as king's men and king's women, we'll have to face that temptation too. The question is, are you a kingsman? Religion can be used to justify all kinds of evil. Even the Christian faith can be used to justify all kinds of evil. But when we do that, we are no longer kingsmen. We have actually surrendered to the ruler of this world. I want to be a kingsman, not some earthly king, but the king who rules the universe and who is coming to set up his kingdom. And that is the king I want to serve. I live here as a pilgrim, and you live here as a pilgrim if you're a kingsman. Would you stand with me? Lord Jesus, we serve at your pleasure. You are the king. You were the king in the desert when the ruler of the principalities of this world tried to draw you into his net, and you stood up as king. You were the king on that day when you came into Jerusalem and people shouted for you, and yet you wept over the city that you loved. You were king in a garden where you cried and wept. You were king on a cross. And you were king at the resurrection. And you are still my king. Praise be your name forever and ever and ever. Lord Jesus, you are king. And I want to be a kingsman. Lord, I struggle sometimes like Peter. And Lord, I struggle like the disciples. I fall asleep at the critical moments. But Lord, I want to be like Joseph of Arimathea. I want to be like Nicodemus. I want to be like the women who followed you. I want to be a kingsman and follow you wherever you call. Praise be your name forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. I invite you to come and cut a palm branch to take home with you. And remember that you are a kingsman. You belong to the king. God bless.